Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, as you know, this past week and even today is the Vernon County Fair. I don't know if all of you like going to the fair, and I don't know if every single one of you has been to the fair this week, but I assume most of you have gone to the fair. So let's suppose I asked you this morning if you would like to go to the fair with me. What would you say? I don't think any of you would really have a problem going to the fair with me. But now let's suppose when I asked you if you wanted to go to the fair with me, I told you that you have to introduce me to everyone we run into, and you have to talk about me. You have to pay for my ticket, pay for my meals, pay for any rides I want to go on, and you have to buy me something really expensive, like a tractor, to take home. If this were the case, would you like to go to the fair with me? I highly doubt it, because then it's more of a burden and not a thing of joy. But now let's apply that same type of thinking with Jesus in heaven. If Jesus asked you this morning, would you like to go to heaven with me, what would you say? Absolutely, you would say yes. But now let's suppose Christ told you that, would you like to go to heaven with me? And before you get there, you must confess me before everyone that you meet, and you have to take up your cross and suffer for my sake. So if he asked you, would you now like to go to heaven with me, what would you say? You would still say yes, but no longer are you overfilled with joy because of what you all have to do. But the reality is, as Christians, we must do this. And we can expect these sufferings to happen in our life. For the path of a Christian has confession and crucifixion. Jesus was on his path to his own crucifixion in this account. In just a few months, he would enter into Jerusalem and he would be killed. Jesus knew that. But no one else thought that this would happen to Jesus, not even his own disciples. This is why Jesus started this conversation with his disciples. He asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." You could applaud the confession that these people had for Jesus. They held him in high regard. They considered him to be a great prophet. But their confession of Christ was not perfect, for there was more to Jesus than just being a great prophet. And that's why Jesus asked his disciples these next two questions. He wanted to see what their confession of him was and to give them a chance to articulate what they believed. So he asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." What an amazing confession from Peter. He confessed that Jesus was the Christ. But what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? The term Christ is the Greek word for the word Messiah. Both Christ and Messiah mean the anointed one. So when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he was confessing, "You are the promised anointed one from God. You are the one who will defeat Satan and establish the kingdom of heaven." That was Peter's confession of Christ. But what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? What's your confession of him? You don't confess that Jesus was a good man that lived 2,000 years ago. You don't confess that he was a great prophet that told us how to live. No, you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and your Savior. What a beautiful thing it is that through his word, God has created faith in your hearts to make this your confession. And we want to confess Christ to others so that they too will confess that he is their Savior. You would expect that Jesus would tell his disciples to do the same thing. But did you notice what Jesus did here? Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Doesn't that sound odd to you? Don't you think that Jesus would tell his disciples to tell others that he is the Christ? Please understand. Later on, Jesus would command his disciples to tell others about him. But at this moment, Jesus knew that the disciples did not fully understand what the Christ was sent to do. This is why Jesus told his disciples that he must be rejected by the Jewish leaders, that he must suffer and die, and then after the third day, rise again. This is the very first time Jesus told his disciples that this would happen to him. And he didn't hide anything from them. He spoke plainly about it. He detailed to them what was going to happen to him. So how did the disciples react to this news? We are told how Peter reacted. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Peter rebuked Jesus for saying that he had to suffer and die. But why did Peter do that? Because in his mind, Peter thought that the Christ would defeat Satan and establish the kingdom of God without dying. Because of this, Jesus rebuked Peter. And did you notice what he called Peter? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Doesn't that sound a bit too harsh to call Peter Satan? Well, it doesn't matter if it sounds too harsh because it's the truth. Think about it. Who would want Jesus not to suffer and die the most? It's Satan. Satan did not want Jesus to suffer and die for our sins. So when Peter rebuked Jesus, he was telling Jesus to do something that Satan wanted. And so he told Peter, "Get behind me. Nothing is going to stop me on my path to save you." And he said to Peter, "You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So even though Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, his confession was not perfect. But what about your confession of Christ in your life? Our confession is not like Peter's, for we rejoice that Christ suffered and died. But our confession of Christ should not stop there. Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Our confession is not only to be that Christ is the Savior, but our confession should also be everything about Christ. Our confession should confess everything that Christ has taught. Is that what your confession looks like? Or do you allow the things of men to be on your mind instead of the things of God? Let's take a look at some of the things that Christ has taught us. Parents, Christ has taught you that you are the spiritual leaders of your children. The church is here to assist you in that, not to replace you. But do you think in your mind that just bringing your children for 1 hour a week is good enough to instruct them about Christ? And let's take a look what Christ has taught us about our culture. Since we live in Wisconsin, we have the reputation of being drinkers. There's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. But Christ has told us not to indulge in it. But in our minds, we may think it is good to indulge in alcohol so that we can brag about how well we can handle our booze, beer, and wine. One more thing that Christ has taught us I want to bring up. Christ has taught us to love our enemies. We may confess that we love our enemies, but do we really? Have you ever offered up one single prayer for your enemy? Or do you only hold evil thoughts against them and complain about them? Our confession of Christ and everything that He has taught is not perfect in our lives. And therefore, Jesus should not only rebuke us by saying, "Get behind me, Satan," He should also say to us, "Depart from me, Satan. I don't know you, for you do not always have in mind the things of God." But Christ will not say that to you, because Christ confessed everything perfectly in His life. He could have chosen not to confess the truth of God's word so that the people would love Him. But instead, He confessed God's word, even if that meant He would be rejected by the people and rebuked by His own disciples. And not only did Christ confess everything perfectly, He lived perfectly according to that confession. And since Christ has done that, you are saved. But why exactly are you saved? Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." If you confess that Christ is your Savior, and if you believe that, you are saved. This is what we do as Christians. We make a confession. But that's not the only thing we do as Christians. For the path of a Christian also has crucifixion. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." As Christians, we must deny ourselves and carry our cross for Christ. But what does it mean to deny ourselves? To deny ourselves means that the center and focus of our life is not on ourselves, but its focus is on Christ. This means we deny those pet sins that bring us joy. We deny even our own well-being to suffer for Christ. But do we do that perfectly? No, we don't. After all, who likes to suffer? You can ask anyone in the world if they like to suffer, what would they say? No. But if you asked Christ if He wanted to suffer, what did He say? Yes. He didn't have to suffer and die. God never had to promise us a Savior from our sins, but He did. And therefore, Christ rejoiced to suffer and die. He rejoiced to be crucified. He rejoiced to lose His life so that we would not lose ours. Therefore, since Christ rejoiced to carry his cross to the path of his crucifixion, as Christians, we also go on a path that leads to crucifixion. Now, we won't be crucified in the same way as Christ was, but we do go through a crucifixion. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Through faith, we are connected to Christ and his crucifixion. All of our sins died with Christ. And now through faith, the life that we live is for Christ, since he lives in us. It is our desire to deny those pet sins that bring us pleasure. It is our desire to suffer as a Christian. And when you suffer as a Christian, you rejoice. You praise God for those sufferings because you now bear the name of Christ. And therefore, you carry your cross. Now, are there times when we will not always rejoice in our sufferings? Are there times when that cross is too heavy to carry and we want to set it aside? Yes. But remember that Christ carried a cross throughout his life, which means he can and he will help you to carry your cross until that day that you are overfilled with joy when his glory is revealed and you are with him in heaven. So now if Jesus asked you this morning, if you would like to be in heaven with him, to confess him before people, and to carry a cross, what do you say? You say yes. You rejoice to confess that Christ is your Savior. You rejoice to confess everything that he taught. You rejoice to carry a cross for him. You rejoice to do all of that. Because Christ rejoiced to confess everything to you. He rejoiced to carry a cross to save you. That's the path that Christ endured. And that's the path that we go through. A path of confession and a path of crucifixion. Out of love for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.